The following podcast is brought to you by Radio Southland and New Zealand On Air. Radio Southland is a community access media station based in Invercargill, New Zealand. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, radiosouthland.org.nz, for our contact details.
Hi everyone, it's Mike here from the Law Centre, and today's show, and maybe a second, is about the youth law Aotearoa, to do with youth and the law. We have been fortunate to secure the assistance of the youth law's legal educator, Sarah Guy. Hi Sarah, and thank you for taking the time to come in from your busy schedule and share your knowledge and expertise with this topic with us.
Hey Mike, thanks for inviting me.
More than welcome, dear. Before we get down to it, as always, the following information is just that, information, and should not be considered legal advice. If you have any concerns in the following topic, we encourage you to contact our offices and make an appointment to speak to one of our staff or volunteers specifically about your situation. Sarah is joining us via a telephone link from Auckland, so we do apologise in advance if there are some odd sounds that may pepper throughout the interview. After talking to a number of people, the word youth implies that someone ranging from an age of 12 to 18. Are we correct in this thinking?
Start with a tricky question, why don't you? It's a little bit difficult to answer directly, as youth ages are seen by different sectors to start with from various ages. So I think if we start with a generalisation, then we can branch into different sectors as we continue this conversation.
I hear what you're saying. So where do we start then?
Well, youth law offers services for young people from 0 to 25. You have rights from the day that you're born.
Seriously?
Yeah, of course. There's some criteria that must be met before youth law can assist, such as unmet legal needs.
Right. So here's one for you, which we get asked often, is what does unmet legal needs mean?
Basically, if you don't have the financial capabilities or the resources, knowledge to help yourself, or you can't find those services or access those services elsewhere.
So with the diversity of age, youth law must be stretched from pillar to post, perhaps, or, you know, with that various criteria, or do you manage predominantly in one area?
There is a bit of a stretch, yeah. We're a team of approximately 10, which is a makeup of part-time and full-time legal and non-legal advocates, and we cover the entire country. We're based in Tamaki Makaurau, which in itself offers its own logistical nightmares, which is why, Mr. Mike, it is important to talk to and liaise with our local law centres such as yourself. I guess we do what we can as fast and efficiently as we can, but there are definite limitations, which is why also education is so important. If we can empower the public to know not only their rights but their responsibilities as well, we can help people help themselves.
Yeah, which makes good sense. And just for those who may not be aware, we do offer some assistance with regards to youth, and we get our guidance from youth law and obviously other areas. So, yeah, by all means, if you do have an issue, touch base with us first. We have referred people on to youth law who have dealt with some matters that they're better positioned to do so. But please contact us in the first instance. Right, so because we've opened up a whole new insight into youth in Aotearoa, I'm going to change the focus slightly and say, start by asking the ages that the different laws become applicable to our tamariki, our children. Is it okay with you, Sarah, or?
No. Yeah, of course. Aye, aye, Captain.
You mentioned that youth will start assistance at 0 years of age. So shall we start there?
Yep, no worries. That sounds good.
All right. So 0 ages, what happens at 0? I mean, is that just because natural birthright?
Selection.
What was that, sorry?
I thought you were going to say natural selection.
Yeah, well, that too.
From the day you're born, you have rights for, you know, a safe place to live and a safe way of living.
Right.
That's probably it in a nutshell.
Okay. Well, let's take a slightly bigger leap then. 5 years.
5 years, you can enroll at school.
So it's not a a compulsory thing at 5?
Not at 5. That hits at 6.
Which was my next age?
Hey, at 6 years, you have to be enrolled at school in some sort of educational forum. If your parents want to homeschool you, though, they do need an exemption from the Ministry of Education.
Is that difficult to obtain, you know?
There is a certain criteria to make sure you're not just hanging around at home.
Right. So you have to meet certain stages that prove that you're actually teaching your kids what they're supposed to be learning.
Yeah, absolutely.
So to speak.
Yeah, particularly if they want to re-enter education later on, they don't want to be behind.
Yeah, right. That makes sense. So 10 years?
10 years, this is a big leap in responsibility, but you can be held criminally responsible for two major crimes, being murder and manslaughter.
Yes, I think we've had a case of that just over the last 10 or so years, haven't we? 12 years.
12 years, you can be held criminally responsible for other serious crimes.
Example?
Anything that has a penalty of 14 years incarceration. So it would be aggravated things. So repeated and aggravated.
14 years?
14 years, you legally stop being a child. I think this is where some of the definitions come in. And you become a young person. This means that you can be held criminally responsible for breaking any law and you'll be generally dealt with under the youth justice system.
Is that the same as the adult system, but not quite? Or
not quite. No, the main aim of the youth justice system is designed to keep youth out of courts. There are distinct differences if you do get into court, though. For example, it is a closed court and adult court is open court. But to keep out of the youth justice system, this is achieved by a number of programs, and a young person is entitled to an adult support person of their choosing.
Okay. So your parents are allowed to be a part of it, or what's the story there?
If that is the person of your choosing, so it's anybody who you independently nominate that you trust, who's 20 years of age or older, and meet another couple of fairly simple criteria.
Right. So if a youth wants to be represented represented by someone other than their parents, then the parents have no say?
It's kind of also tricky. Are you talking about questioning with police?
Just being questioned with your lawyer, or, you know, who's there to ensure that they're not being...
Yeah, which is why they're entitled to that independent nominated person. It's that trusted adult at that point. That's for questioning with police, but parents will be informed.
Right. Okay. I think that's fair enough. What else happens at 14, if anything?
14. Your parents are allowed to leave you at home without supervision, so you can stay home alone. 14, you can also babysit, but it depends what's reasonable for you and what you're capable of. So if it's, you know, one young person you're babysitting, or two or three, depends on the individual.
Right. So you could argue maturity. So the parents would, or someone would decide your maturity levels as to your ability to look after one, two, three, or children with issues, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, because it's about the safety of that 14-year-old. So, and it's to ensure that they're not just sort of thrown into, you know, a room like, and here's like 12 kids to look after and sort of used that way as caregivers. More than just babysitting, which is quite a different kettle of fish. So it's a bit whatever is reasonable. So if that young person does have an experience and they've had a sibling that they've grown up with who does have some sort of special needs or neurodiversities and they're comfortable with that, that would be seen as within their capabilities. But if it's completely foreign to them, no, that wouldn't be fair.
Right. So 15.
15, you are personally responsible for wearing your seatbelt in the vehicle, which means getting the fine if you're not wearing it. So you're always responsible for wearing your seatbelt, but you are financially responsible for the fine at 15, so not the driver anymore.
Right. Cool. That's good to know. Now I think we head into some bigger areas like 16.
Yeah, 16's a big age. It's also an age where a lot of services fall out for young people, because it's another distinguishing factor. But at 16, you can qualify as an adult worker or a starting out worker, which means you're entitled to get it paid at least the minimum wage or the starting out wage, which is 80%, for any work you do as an employee.
Cool. So does that mean the youngest person can be employed at 16?
No, you can be employed pretty much at any age. There's no minimum age to start working, but there are some limitations on when, what, and how you work if you're of a certain age. And these are just to ensure that you're safe and that you're fully able to participate in school whilst you're school-aged.
So I couldn't start full-time work at, say, 14 without getting whatever exemptions that are required because I need to attend school.
You need to be attending school at 14 because it's not legal to leave until later on, until 16,
right?
Which is one of the things. So you can leave school at 16. At 14, you could work full-time in the school holidays.
Okay, yeah. Right, so essentially the school is still paramount.
Absolutely.
14, under 16-year-old.
Correct.
Cool. So is there somewhere that people can get an indication of what areas of work and age limitations there are?
Yeah, there's a few places. We have a short list on our website, youthlaw.co, under young adults work before you start. There's also the employment.gov.nz, which has a more comprehensive list as well.
All right. Thank you for that. So we carry on with some of the other things.
But wait, there's more when you're 16. You can legally consent to sex after you turn 16. You're allowed to get married or enter a civil union if your parents agree.
Civil what? Sorry, what was that?
You can get married or enter a civil union if your parents agree with their permission.
Okay. So is that where, if I've got my thinking correct, it only requires one parent to agree? You don't have to have both because, I mean, if the parents are separated and... you know, one's going to say yes, one's going to say no.
Mm. Who's the deal breaker?
Well, yeah, it could be, but it, from what I, my, am I right in thinking that just need the one parent? It's okay on that?
I think the most important thing is actually at the moment, it must be, even if you've just got one, it must be sanctioned by a family court judge and just to really ensure there's no pressure from any external avenues.
Very good. Yes, I think that, yeah, that's probably a fair point to note that because whilst you may be told, yep, you can go for it. There's mm-hmm. still somebody who's going to potentially change that anyway.
Absolutely. There's still more. You can leave home, choose where you want to live. You can apply to get your learner's license. You can decide what parent you want to live with if your parents have split. You can independently agree to refuse or refuse medical treatment, and that does include your mental health, so seeking counselling for that. You can choose to leave school, as I mentioned before. And if you have left school, you're able to work full-time from there. Your parents can't change your name unless you consent to it, so that's then your decision. And you can apply for a firearms license and apply to get an adult passport.
Ah, okay. So, as we said, busy time for the young person. 17 years in.
17, you can generally apply to join a Navy, Army or Air Force, so the Armed Forces. At 17, if you are charged with a less serious offence, you'll go through the youth justice system. You'll be kept in that sort of safer area. But if you're charged with a more serious offence, you'll be treated as an adult in the criminal justice system. And that's a little bit of discretion, a little bit of historical about what's been happening and a little bit of what the exact crime or offence is.
Okay. Yeah, which still, I understand what the reasoning is for that. So 18 years in, we become an adult.
Do you become an adult, though? That is the question. But at 18, your parents no longer have the rights, have any of the rights or responsibilities that come from being your guardian. So it seems like you have become an adult. At 18, you're not allowed to get married. You are allowed to get married or enter that civil union without those parents or guardians' consent. And at 18, you're allowed to vote. Once you turn 18, you can stand as an election candidate if you want to.
That's something new for me. Yeah, cool. But just in case some of our listeners are unsure, it is compulsory or a legal requirement to vote?
That's a good question. We do get asked this a few times, especially in election and voting year. It is a legal requirement to be enrolled once you turn 18, but it is not a legal requirement to actually vote. No.
Awesome. All right. Thank you for that. So what else do we have?
18. You are no longer treated as a young person under the criminal law and you'll be charged under the adult court system. You can't be put into an OT residence. You can be questioned by police without your parents or other guardians present. You're allowed to buy alcohol, cigarettes and vapes, as well as gamble at the TAB. You can buy instant Kiwi tickets. You're allowed to change your own name. You can become a police officer. You can start applying when you're 17 to police college, but you won't be fully enrolled till you're 18. You can ask your bank for an individual bank account. You are fully responsible for any contract you enter into, such as a tenancy, flatting, or consumer credit contract. You can be called for jury service. Last but not least, you can now legally send and receive objectionable images, but there's still some limitations with this.
And we won't delve into those. So, okay, 19 years?
19, if you're adopted, you can prevent your birth parents from being able to access any information for the next 10 years. That was new to me. At 20, before you turn 20, there's a zero tolerance when you're driving for blood alcohol limit. And at 20 and after, that sort of loosens up a bit. So you're allowed to drive, but only with those small amounts of alcohol in your system. At 20, you are allowed to gamble in a casino. You're allowed to adopt a relative. If you were adopted as a child, you can apply to birth, deaths, and marriages for a copy of your birth certificate to find the names of your parents. And this is the most fun part. Even though you already have an adult passport and treated as an adult by most services at 18, it's not until 20 that you reach the age of majority, which means at 20, you are now legally an adult.
Ah, so age of majority. Interesting. Okay. Is there anything else? You see 25 years. What happens then?
25 years, there is another milestone. At 25 years, you're allowed to adopt someone that you're not related to, and you have to be at least 20 years older than they are. So if you're 25 and adopt a non-family member, you can adopt it. The oldest you could adopt is a five-year-old.
So you can adopt a family member at 20, but a non-family member, you have to wait till you're 25?
Absolutely, yeah.
Interesting.
These are legal adoptions, and it doesn't actually take into account our whangai situation. Just as another note in a conversation for a later date.
Some of those are definitely very interesting, and I'm aware that there are some laws where laws apply irrespective of age. Can you give us an indication of some of those, please, Sarah?
So things you can do at any age? Negotiate an employment agreement. You can get a passport, but it may be a younger person passport. You can travel overseas. You can make a claim in the disputes tribunal. At any age, you can seek sexual health services without parental consent. At any age, you can buy a lottery ticket. And any age, you have the right not to be discriminated against on a number of grounds, being your sex, religious or ethical beliefs, orientations, disabilities, marital status, political opinion, employment, family status, and a couple of others.
Okay.
At any age, you must wear a helmet when you're riding your bike. And at any age, you must wear your seatbelt or be in a child restraint when you're traveling in a vehicle. As we mentioned earlier, you're responsible for insuring this yourself when you turn 15, but it's the driver's financial responsibility up to that age.
Yes, of course. Yep. Unfortunately, we're running out of time for today, so we will be continuing with a second show. We will either continue on directly from what we're doing, or we may specialise on a certain area. Anyway, thank you, Sarah, for answering all those questions. I hope it helps everyone better understand the services that Sarah and the youth will provide. Thanks, Steve.
No, I insist. thanks for having me and introducing youth law and the services that we provide.
Awesome. For any of your law-related matters, it's always important to remember that all situations are unique, and it is advisable that you, if you're unsure about your rights or obligations, that you seek legal advice or information about your situation as early as you can. If you have any questions about what we've discussed today or a query in relation to something else that you would like the opportunity to make an appointment with one of our volunteer lawyers or caseworkers, please call us on 21 43 180 or 0800 55 0800. Our office hours are 9 to 4. Remember that we're only open to walk-in clients on Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays. We are still assisting people across our district, including Gore, Bluff, Winton, Riverton, Lumsden, Otago, Ohio, Nightcaps, Tuatapere and Tiano. You can contact us on our toll-free number 0800 55 0800 and make an appointment to meet with us when we're next in your area. Until then, stay safe.
The preceding podcast was brought to you by Radio Southland with the support of New Zealand On Air. Their funding of accessmedia.nz makes these podcasts available. To find similar programs by other stations involved, go online to accessmedia.nz.